All right, welcome everybody. It's Creative Entrepreneur Success Club. This is January 25th, 2017. We're in the third month of the of a cycle, and this, the last week, the third week. So that's very auspicious. It's a milestone meeting. And we're just going to wait another minute or two. Meanwhile, I know Steve is celebrating taking care of the admin to move into a more affordable apartment. Anybody else have any celebrations?
Yes, Tessa here. I'm continuing to sub, and congratulations, Steve. By the way, that's awesome. I'm continuing to sub. I'm on my sixth class.
Wow, that's great. You're rolling.
I'm really excited, and I'm getting reviews back, and I'm able to sit there and further my asks by saying, if you liked this class, let them know. I'd love to have a regular class. So that's my next goal, and I'm feeling very optimistic about it.
Oh, that's tremendous. So that's really great. So great. Yay.
Thank you.
Yay. Brava. Well, you've been very tenacious. And that's what it takes. That's all it takes, you know, which is not minimizing it in any way. That's, you know, it's so hard not to just drop the ball sometimes, you
mm-hmm.
know, and keep taking your actions regularly. So I think, Miriam, you got anything you wanna let us in on? Anything in the works?
No, I've been still searching for some plays that are good to propose to the Acme Theater Company. I have sent some emails to the artistic director of that saying that I'd like to pin down the dates that I'll be out there.
Yeah, sure.
I'll try to get that pinned down by the end of the week.
So how are you going to do that?
I sent her an email, and I said that I'll give her a call later today, and if we can't have a conversation about that today, then we should make a phone appointment to have that conversation.
Yeah, makes sense.
I've also been dealing with her in the past that she gets distracted by, she's doing a whole lot of things, so I'm not taking it personally that she doesn't get back.
No, you should never take it personally. Yeah. You're absolutely right. Never.
And I'm going to be pushier than I generally am. You know?
Good. Good. I mean, I don't know what the setup is there, or if you set that goal of doing it by the end of the week, and she doesn't, you get her voicemail, and I don't know when you are going to call her. That's just a couple days. I guess what I'm wondering about is, could it be conceivably appropriate to just stop in?
Well, since she's in Davis, California, that would be
no,
hard.
No, not too convenient. Not too convenient. Gotcha.
Yeah.
All right, well.
I really could have known
right.
to stop into even if I was in Davis, because it, I mean, so, but, kind of
it sounds like it's a go. It's just a matter of pinning this lady down.
Yeah. And when I say by the end of the week, I basically mean by next Wednesday.
Gotcha.
My like days to work on this kind of stuff are basically Wednesday and Thursday. So, and I can do other stuff on other days, but I don't have as much. I don't have a focused length of time because of my other work.
Right.
So,
all right. Well, that sounds great. I hope to hear how it goes.
Thanks.
Yeah. So, let us jump in. We're going to do some stock taking, as it were. All right. I put these questions up on the screen if you are at your computer to refer to them. Also, if you just write more quickly than other people, you can move ahead to the next question, but I'm also going to state them and give a certain amount of time, as I think is appropriate for each question, given the nature of it. So let me pull up my little timer, my little friend. Okay, there's my timer. So, the first question I ask you is, reflect back to when you first joined Creative Entrepreneur Success Club, or even before that, when you first contacted me, what were the one to three things, not more than that, but the one up to three things you most wanted to achieve professionally? Take a couple minutes for that question. Go ahead. For whoever just joined us, we're on question number one. Just take another 30 seconds for that. Okay, now we're going to go on to the second question. If you haven't already, and I'm just curious, text me if you do not have access to a screen right now where you see these questions, because I know in some cases I may be giving you more time than you need. So I'm not, you know, I'm going to move on to question number two, which is actually a three-part question. In relation to the goals you set when you first started working with me. The first question I have is, in relation to those goals, where are you today? I'm just going to time you for about 30 seconds on that. Actually, I have a hunch you might need a little more time for that, so another 30 seconds. Okay. The second part of this question is, how did you get here from there? How did you get here from there in terms of the progress you've made with regard to your goals for the group? Okay, I'm going to give you some time for that. Go ahead. take about 30 more seconds. Okay, I just want to check in. Am I going too fast, too slow, or just right? Just shout out.
I'm fine.
Okay.
At first it was a little slow, but then I sort of had some unbrain farts, and then I started. Then I wanted more time. So it's. I think it's just right.
Oh, excellent, excellent. Okay. So then now the third and final part of this, in relation to those goals you set, question is, what was your most powerful shift in these 3 months? Go ahead. Just take about 30 more seconds for that. All right, so let's move on to the third question. What are your up to three and no more, 1 to 3 professional goals for the next 90 days? Go ahead. Take about 30 more seconds. Okay, now if you haven't finished exploring that, that's okay. You can write a little longer on it or move on to the fourth question, which I'm going to give you the most time for. I'm going to give you 3 full minutes here, and that is, what questions arise with regard to achieving those goals in the next 90 days? Go ahead. So about 20 more seconds. All right, great. So, there are so few of us. I think I'm going to just go in order of appearance on the call today. So if that's all right, unless, Steve, you don't have any questions. Actually, I see Steve is still muted. I'm going to unmute him. Steve, is it okay to go first?
Sure.
Okay.
Can you hear me? You can hear me?
I hear okay. You perfectly well. Can you hear me? Well, I think you can hear me because you answered me.
Yeah. Okay. How shall I address that?
Well, first, why don't you give me a sense of what ahas came to you as you did this exercise, and then you can just fire away your answers to question number four, which is what questions arose out of this exploration.
Yeah. Okay, good. I mean, I feel that the commitment I made to the course and my career, it had to do with putting my energy out, because I was very isolated with my, problems of starting again in my field and all this stuff, and there was an inertia.
Yeah.
So this is metaphysical, I don't even know it's true, but I'll throw it out there. I think by forging ahead and participating and doing the work, I created life events. So my focus has changed. It's about moving, literally. It's about finding a new career or at least better things to write about that please me. Mm. And there you go. So that's what's happening with me.
Well, that's a big shift.
It's a big shift. It's hard to quantify it in terms of, the goals I had just 3 weeks ago, which was so many LinkedIn contacts, networking, which I'm still doing, by the way, a little.
Good, but, yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to a networking thing tonight. I'm very happy about that. But generally, I'm all about this move. If it happens, by the way, if it happens. But it, what was I going to say? So there you go.
Well, that's why you keep doing those things, because You keep proceeding with, you keep maintaining the regular actions despite this exciting, development, because you don't know what's going to happen.
I don't.
So you just keep chopping wood and carrying water as you fulfill the demands, as you meet the demands, all right?
Yeah,
that's
right.
That's what you do. That's what you do, right?
Right.
Don't get too excited. Don't get too depressed.
Yeah, that's true.
Did any specific questions crystallize for you?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how specific this is. It's basically, assuming I have the freedom to just explore new things, how do you do that? I mean, I have some answers, but really it is a deep question that I have.
Well, first of all, why not assume you do have that freedom? Why would it even be a question that you have that freedom?
That's a very funny question. That is, you're right. I mean, the thing is, I was putting all my eggs in this finding more freelance work, which I hate, but I have to do it, and I was forgetting that I could at the same time explore new things.
I think that's what's going to keep you moving forward is, yes, you've got to take care of paying the bills, and you have to also keep evolving. So the question is, are you making time in your life for that kind of exploration, first of all?
Well, the answer is, uh-oh.
Okay, so that's, I think, creating that space where I'm not even, you know, we could brainstorm a little right now about how to go about that kind of exploration. Would that help? I mean, obviously, first step, make space for it every week. Second step, what do you want to explore?
Well, you know, there are kinds of writings I had aspirations to years ago, and I let it all go. I could take some courses in playwriting, humor writing, and TV writing, and, you know, things that you try.
What of those things, of the things you just mentioned, makes your heart jump?
Well, humor.
So this kind of, how would you explore humor writing?
Well, you know, I always think taking a course puts gives you deadlines and like that.
Gives you structure and deadlines, yes.
Yeah, but I have a few books on formulas to use, you know, which also have exercises, but, you know, they lack deadlines, so I've always just put them away.
Well, if what you're layering in is this kind of exploration on a regular basis, I would say that it would be a good idea to create deadlines, weekly deadlines. Mm. You know, look at that marketing business plan we created 3 months ago. Remember
right.
that sheet? And right. I think you need, yeah, so that needs to be added to it.
Right.
Yeah. And then quantified. How many hours a week are you doing this? You could even specify the day.
Right.
All right. So you're right. You don't have to wait for someone else to give you the deadline, but I recommend creating it. If you're not going to do a class, then yes, create that structure for yourself. I mean, you're certainly welcome to keep bringing that into this structure.
Okay.
As part of what you do. So it sounds like at this point you have something to explore.
Yeah.
And you have materials to explore it now.
Mm-hmm.
Just got to create that sacrosanct time when you're going to hit those humor books. Okay?
Yeah. Right.
So,
I
good.
Yeah.
I think you could.
I think I could.
All right, and I know we're scheduled to have a chat just to check in Monday, so I'm going to look forward to that, Steve.
Yes.
All right, Miriam, how was this for you?
You mean today or the last 3 months? What are we at?
This exercise was about reflection over the last.
Reflection.
Yeah.
Yeah, the questions that I have, if I want to, like, they came out of, like, the specific, like, the goals I had at the beginning were to have a directing gig. And I feel like I almost do. Like, I need to nail it down. I mean, that I have basically an offer that's not totally confirmed.
So the month's not over yet.
Yeah. Yeah. But at the moment of today, I've almost achieved the goal that I had 3 months ago.
That is awesome.
And so if I wanted to make a similar goal for the next 3 months,
yes,
to have at least one other directing gig, the question was if I do exactly the same things, would that succeed? And I don't know because this one came from being brave to follow up when I thought the opportunity was well passed.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know how many other producers I know are people in sort of Emily's position or theater companies. So I feel like the question is how how do I raise the quality of my asks? Because my guess is that I would need to do that in order to achieve the goal of having a second freelance directing gig.
Can you tell me what you mean a little more specifically by raising the quality of your asks?
In the process that we did to figure out how many asks we ought to be doing, I decided 5
mm-hmm.
a week,
mm-hmm.
and but some of the asks are sort of like, I don't know how much I think I'm not sure if the asks that I'm doing are really asks, you know, in the sense that some of them are reaching out to people who I know who are also theater practitioners, such as myself,
mm-hmm.
Whom I know. And
what? Okay. Well, so in other words, you feel that if you already know them, it isn't an ask? Is that what you're saying?
No, in order to get the gig that I got, I talked to somebody whom I knew who had a gig to give.
Right.
And some of the things that I'm doing that are asks they're not that direct.
Okay. Well, can you give me an example of one that's not so direct?
I sent an email to my friend Emily Davis, who has a theater company, so that she can produce her own writing,
mm-hmm.
Which she directs.
Yes.
And it's an email just to chit-chat and to stay in touch. She's my friend. I haven't talked to her in a long time. And that those kinds of connections are the connections.
That's right.
I don't know if that's... you know what? I'm being too hard on myself.
I think you are. I think you are.
Where I wrote raise the quality of asks, I'm going to write love the quality of my asks.
I love that. I think you're absolutely. It's really true. You don't always come to an ask or a call with a demand. That's part of maintaining a relationship. Yeah, right? You just chit chat. What's going on in your business? And then what's going on in my business, right? You know, exchanging that, connecting that way, and things organically arise.
Yes.
Right.
Some other things I'm doing that are asks are I'm looking at the playbill on their job section, and I've applied to things. I've written them down, and then a question that I thought of earlier that I thought I would ask today has to do with those, in that all the ones that I did some in November, but then I never heard anything from them.
Okay.
And part of that is that I don't know how to follow up on those is it appropriate? And
give me an example. Can you remember one specifically that you can share with me?
Sure. Well, I wrote them down.
Brava.
To remember them. wrote them down in a notebook that's not in front of me, so I'm carrying my computer to the other room.
Okay.
One was a Mill Mountain Theater Company, and it was to direct a reading of the director reading of The Mountaintop, which is that play about...
when will it be, the reading?
Well, it's passed already.
Okay. So how far ahead did you apply? Just curious. How far in advance of the reading did you apply?
I don't remember. I have to actually look at the listing, but But my question is that I did that. I think it's passed, actually. I don't know enough information to remember. But I applied in November.
What would be inappropriate about calling the theater?
I don't know.
Well, it's a risk. It's a risk.
So, guys, great. It is appropriate for me to call the theater. How long should I wait? Should I send the application and then call them right away? Should I send the application and call them 2 weeks later?
I would say you can always, I'm kind of making this up as I go along, Miriam. I'll be perfectly honest with you, but I think when you just send out a resume and then don't follow it up, you're going to end up, especially if you don't have a contact, you're going to end up in a slush pile, So I would say, first of all, it doesn't hurt to follow up a couple days later just to make sure they got it.
Right.
That's a sly way to do it, just to make sure it was received, and maybe even to ask who's reviewing the application.
Uh-huh.
See if you can get a specific person connected, you know, who's going to be doing that. Right? And shoot them an email. And then wait another week and pick up the phone again. I mean, what is the worst that could happen?
I could do it poorly, and they could decide that I'm unprofessional.
What would doing it poorly look like?
Being a pest.
If you call every day, you'll be a pest.
Well, what? Okay.
Yeah. I mean, think if you put yourself in their shoes, and the thing is, as a director, I think you've probably been in their shoes, right? When you've sent out calls for resumes or you've produced things yourself, put yourself in their shoes, and imagine what it would be like to get a call from someone and then get a call a week later. Just, not every day, but if someone asked you those questions like, can you give me information about who's going to be reviewing the applications, would that strike you as unprofessional?
No, but that was not the question that occurred to me.
Okay.
What
was the question that occurred to you?
No questions occurred to me, so that's why I never did any follow-up, because I didn't know what I could possibly ask.
I think you want to layer in follow-ups.
Yeah.
Those are two, perhaps we can brainstorm more about what kind of follow-up questions you could have. But I know you, and I can't imagine you behaving in a way that's unprofessional. I just can't imagine it.
Right. I guess what I'm hearing from this is that if I've sent in an application, calling them is not at all like a cold call for nothing.
No, it's a warm call.
And that when I do send an application, I should plan at that moment what the next follow-up thing is going to be.
I think that would be a great
calendar. And I shouldn't, like, my plan previously was hopes they call.
No, that's not a plan.
Right, that's not a plan.
No. This is the whole thing about being in business. You're proactive, right? Never leave it up to people, right?
Yeah.
I think this would be a great thing for you to layer in terms of raising the quality of your asks. Absolutely. That sort of follow up. All right. And, of course, you probably know this, but as you peruse the sources for these submissions, always look to see if you know anyone in any way attached to the production who you can cite in the application, or that, even better yet, you could reach out to and let them know you want to apply. Any way you can stand out, and you know, and if nothing else, then just you just have systematize your follow up the way we're talking about.
Yeah.
Because it's like I said, you know, the artist has to cut through. Because you got to figure, 95% of people are doing what you did, hoping they'll get a call.
Right.
And even if you don't get this gig, you're going to be more memorable. And then when they get it, right? I mean, yeah. I think you're going to become more of a real human being to them. You're right?
Yeah.
As you make those follow-up connections.
Right. Thank you.
Oh, my pleasure. Anything else? Or maybe here's what we could do, actually. I think this would be correct. Let me go to Tessa and then come back if you think of another question so that I make sure everybody gets at least one. So, Tessa.
Hello. Can you hear me okay?
Perfectly.
Okay, good. I was on mute for my soup.
Okay. Thank you very much. So, how was this exercise for you in terms of looking over your shoulder and seeing where you were and where you've come,
mm-hmm.
and what questions have arisen for you?
Yeah, I'm really happy with the progress I've made. I've basically hit the notes that I wanted to have at this point. You know, I'm teaching yoga at a place that I get paid to teach. I don't have to pay to rent space. It also has a great reputation. I've got independence from my main graphic design client that I'm on retainer for that I feel like has been suffocating me and underpaying me. And I'm getting clients, I'm getting back in touch with clients that I enjoy working with, you know. And I have two small gigs, one that is producing more work. Even though it's small, it's clearly I'm back on their radar for continuing work. And my progression is to make sure that these things keep growing.
Mm-hmm.
I think my main thing that I realized that changed in me is I became less afraid to fail.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, in this process, I started to realize more that if something failed for me, if I felt I did something bad or it didn't work out, that, like, you know, it didn't really affect anybody else, and therefore there was less of a weight on my shoulders, so I could just go try something, succeed or fail, and just not worry about it being perfect.
Mm-hmm.
And similar to that is I don't need validation from labels out there in order to teach what I know or do what I know. A lot of things are more about, like, you know, understanding your client or understanding somebody's body, and that I don't need somebody who, you know, I don't need like a college education for everything that I want to do in my life. And I often, I'm a perfectionist, and I often approach things with an extreme discipline for myself and criticism. Like,
well,
Miriam, I'm too hard on myself.
All of those reasons, I'm too old, I don't have the right degree, those are all beliefs.
Mm-hmm.
And you could definitely build a case for any one of them.
Mm-hmm.
But you could also just get into action and
mm-hmm.
prove them wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Right? You can choose. That's your choice, to put your focus there, which makes so much more sense. I don't know if you read the blog I wrote this week for the newsletter, but I mean,
mm-hmm.
it brings to mind, you know, a great definition of humility that I heard, and the thing is that that's what we need to succeed. It seems counterintuitive, but you have to be humble to succeed, because humility isn't some grovelly disposition, you know, isn't this self-abnegating way of being, you know, that's not humility. Humility isn't, you know, it's not thinking less of yourself, in other words. It's thinking about yourself less.
Mm. Mm.
That's humility.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're right. Nobody's even noticing when you fail because they're too busy focused on their own thing.
Right. Right. And I think I've, for myself, I think I've had the opposite meaning of the humility, that I've always been, you know, the one that's like, I could do better, I could do better, I could do better.
That's that, in a way, one could call that arrogance in a weird way, you know?
It's a distraction technique, you know? It keeps you in the learning cycle.
And there's nothing wrong with being in the learning cycle, but why not stay there out of the joy of learning instead of, mm-hmm. you know, driving yourself with an electric cattle prod, you know, with the I'm not good enough mantra, you know?
Right, right. And so that was great to see actualized in this process and lead to actual work. Because in the end, a lot of things didn't change. It was just my attitude towards them and, you know, like small shifts created bigger openings and bigger effects. Still working within the same resources I had all along. I'm just mm-hmm. using them entirely differently.
Mm-hmm. Right. So, no, absolutely, that internal shift is fundamental. So it mm-hmm. sounds like you set certain goals for yourself that you've met. Were there some goals you set that you feel you fell short of?
No, but I want to make sure I continue nurturing all of this
stuff too.
So that it's not, yeah. So it's not just like, oh, I've done this, and then I forget how to keep it going. Mm-hmm. You know, I need this to be my foundation of my future success. So my next set of questions for myself are all around making sure that these things grow. I want to make sure I have a permanent class at this studio. If I sub enough or I get people to give testimonials to the front desk, then I could sit there in the next 90 days and be an actual teacher on the roster. And I need to make sure that my outside clients for graphic design, that those smaller gigs turn into the bigger paying gigs, and I use my support system to make sure that I can have the time to work on projects and be flexible as they come in, so I'm not trapped by the retainer that keeps me doing the same work that's going nowhere and is creatively dead for me forever and ever and ever, and just kind of, you know,
right.
using my skill set.
Are there any questions in there? It sounds like you're pretty clear about what needs to happen, what you need to do.
Yeah, I think I had a question. Let me see here. No, I think they're mostly just questions that are made to provoke me to pursue doing the same thing.
I'm wondering about this. I think it's great. You're really staying focused on this yoga studio and getting a class there. It reminds mm-hmm. me of when I got my first full-length play produced at a theater. I really put all my energy there, and I think it was fine for that purpose.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder, just larger picture, what is beyond mm-hmm. getting a class at this studio?
Oh, sure. So we're not talking, I'm so much of my life is like month to month at this point with the baby mm-hmm. that mm-hmm. I'm thinking such small picture. You know, years from now, I do want to be a physical guru of some kind, you know, on a small level, you know, working with other health practitioners. I don't want to run my own anything, but I want to be in collaboration with other experts to create better, healthier living for, you know, people. And I've talked before about working with chiropractors and you know, other health experts. And I feel that by me being connected with the studio that has, you know, a reputation, that has, you know, people that that you can call and ask how was Tessa's teaching, and not, you know, studios that open and close and people that are unaccountable, that I'm building my reputation as.
So it sounds like what's next, because I'm so glad you verbalized that big vision.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's great.
Mm-hmm.
I would say pulling back, we might look at a 5-year plan for that.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, get clear about what your plan is for this year.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't seem like you, I mean, getting those testimonials on a website so you can refer people to them would be important, because you don't have to rely on this yoga studio for people to call the studio to get a recommendation of you. It seems to me
mm-hmm.
you can put that out in the world yourself. I think that would be an important next step.
Okay.
And, right? And you
mm-hmm.
might also, we can discuss what the end game would be for you, but if you want to position yourself as an expert, it does sound like you might want to start speaking. Whether
mm-hmm.
it was through doing some kind of a summit with other professionals on a webinar in that kind of format, or
mm-hmm.
you know, doing some talks or workshops by yourself, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I think it would, yeah, because I don't think your end game. I'm very glad to know what your end game is.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess I'm thinking of this linearly, like a resume, like how I would apply for a job in an office,
mm-hmm.
because I have a corporate background, and even with freelance, it's, a resume is like it's not really even how you do it with that either. It's more organic than that. It's more word of mouth. So I guess my questions should be more about like how do people establish themselves? You know,
it's not a corporate resume. I can tell you
yeah.
that. There are resumes that you can create that are formatted very differently, that don't even cite your previous jobs.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, and I can help you with that. I can't off the top of my head give you that format.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Again, it's not, you know, the quality of the work you're doing as a yoga practitioner is very different.
Yeah.
Right.
And I think you've talked a bit about this too, and I think this might be what I'm struggling with, is that if I'm approaching this like I'm going to have to convince people of my talent or my caring and my know-how, right? Like I
yes.
have a very cold call, but in actuality, like, most of my actions should be setting me up for a warm call every time I talk to somebody. There
right.
shouldn't be that many instances that I'm just coming out of the blue saying, hi, I'm Tessa, this is what I'm about, you know, please consider me, without it being, you know, without it being, like, not so formal. Even if I am introducing myself for the first time, I probably wouldn't be sending a resume, and if I was, then that's probably such a long shot. That I may be just completely missing.
Well, yeah, I mean, you don't, you want to try to, definitely, we can talk more about the kind of asks that you are doing and what your goals are with relation to them, but in terms of, like you mentioned a resume, I think for what you're doing as a yoga teacher, you're looking more at what I would call a functional resume than a
okay.
chronological resume, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And that would include your, well, it could include an objective, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it would highlight your qualifications. It would outline your relevant background, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it would outline the things that you specialize in. And I don't even see why you couldn't even have a testimonial on it, right?
Right.
It's, you mm-hmm. know, for what you're doing, it's more of like a one sheet. You know,
right.
kind of thing. All
okay,
right.
Yeah, that's a different way of looking at it.
Good. Yes, I think that would be more in line with what it is you're moving towards.
Yeah. Yeah, because that's the lack of confidence thing, where you're sitting there and you want to have everything out on the paper when you're actually in.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Late. So that's not. Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So again, it's the you know just keep your focus out,
mm-hmm.
like you're doing.
Mhm. Mhm. Thank you.
My pleasure. So I can stay on for a few minutes longer. Did anyone else? Did anyone else have a question that came up, or you know, is there anything else before we sign off? And I will say that this program is a rolling program. I really hope that if you find it's a structure that's been helpful, you'll consider continuing. Whether or not you do, I really would love it if you could schedule a check-in with me, okay, so that we could look at what the best direction for you next would be, all right? I know that Elise has reached out to everyone to schedule that. So mm-hmm. please do get back to her and do that. On my own behalf, I sent you all a little bit of a – it's also a good thing to do when you're asking for testimonials. Make it as easy as possible for people. Send them prompts. Like what I just sent you, you could steal that when you are, and send it to people that you want to generate testimonials from. But that of course, would be awfully nice. So, again, any other questions, any other final questions in this meeting? Somebody's moving furniture.
I'm getting ready.
You're getting ready to leave. Oh, okay. Yeah. So it sounds like you don't have any last questions. How about you, Miriam?
No, I'm all right. I looked back over the notes that I had, and that was a very nice figuring things out that we just did.
Excellent. Excellent. Okay. Well, I just had such fun working with you all. I look forward to more. And the next, just so you know, next month, I'll give you the dates now so that you have it in mind. We will be meeting on the 8th, the 15th, and the 22nd of February.
Okay.
And I will put that on the page. All righty then. So have a great, yeah?
This is Tessa here just saying it's been so lovely hearing everybody go through this journey. That's one of the pluses of the group and the course is just knowing that we're not alone and hearing about everybody's triumphs and struggles, and that's been incredibly empowering. I just wanted to thank everybody.
Oh, thank
very
you,
well Tessa. Said, and thank you very much.
Okay. All right.
Okay.
So, all right. Till next time, folks.
All right. Thank you, Rati.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Rati.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.